What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
We're going to now move into talking about Sonya Massey, who was murdered last week by a Sangamon County sheriff. And last week, our hearts were shattered when we learned that another black woman had been executed by law enforcement. We say her name, Sonya Massey, here to discuss the Sydney Kessler, a queer black feminist healing arts practitioner and the rapid response organizer and campaign strategist with the In Our Names Network. Good morning, Sydney.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Quickly for my audience, and because I want to spend the majority of our time talking about Sonya and also generally black women and the ways in which we are targeted, hunted, murdered, raped, et cetera, by law enforcement. I'm feeling a particular kind of rage. I hadn't watched the video until this morning, so I'm sitting very freshly with that. But very freshly, what is the In Our Names Network and what work are you engaged in?
Yes, thank you. I hope that the breath you need, you're able to find in this moment, and that we can be in a conversation of kinship. What an honor to be here. I am Sydney, the rapid response organizer and campaign strategist for In Our Names Network. We are a collective of campaigns, individuals, and organizations committed to ending police and state-sanctioned violence against Black women, girls, trans, and gender nonconforming people. We were founded in 2016 at the Allied Media Conference after a swarm of murders on Black women, girls, trans, and gender nonconforming folks at the hands of police and the state. And anytime there is a murder, anytime there is an act of violence, anytime one of ours is brutally and unjustly taken, particularly by the police and particularly by the state, the network has a requirement for its members, for its communities to show up, to provide care for the community on the ground, to those who are directly impacted, to provide care to our members and to those who resemble and understand what it means to be in community for our queer Black identities. And we also mobilize resources and support for all of those that as we figure out what liberation should look like moving forward.
Yes, and I will say that APTP is a proud part of that network, and I'm so grateful for your work. And one of the things that, very quickly, I just want to say that is so critical about In Our Names is it's survivors too, right? The focus on survivors.
Yes.
Because while law enforcement has murdered 660 people to date this year, according to the Washington Post database, we know there's so many more names of people that are walking with that trauma. All right, when I do these segments, Sydney, I always begin with the humanity. What do we know about Sonya Massey? What do we know about her as a person?
We know that she liked to hang out with her family. We know that she liked to do hair. We know that she was full of life. We know that she needed help and that she needed protection and that when she needed it, the police and the state was not able to provide it.
As they never are, which is why we do the work that we do. And
yes,
alternate pathways. All right, deep breath. Can you walk us through what happened to 36-year-old Sonya Massey last week?
Absolutely. Deep breath. So Sonya Massey on July 6th, her life was unfortunately cut short by the police that she called for help in Springfield, Illinois. She was concerned about an intruder, and so she reached out to law enforcement only to be met with fatal violence instead of protection. And the video footage, her family laid her body to rest on July 19th with funeral service. The body footage was released Monday, July 22nd. And for a lot of us who've now seen many videos, who've now lived through the social media era of violence, of captured violence by the state and police on Black women, girls, trans, and gender nonconforming folks, but all of our community members was released. And as many community members, and as mentioned, the trigger warning, we were all heartbroken, disturbed, and in concern. And now we've had conversations with community folks on the ground who have been organizing, going on a month, right? Next week will be the 1st of August, when we lost her the 1st of July. So they have been on the ground organizing, holding family, holding loved ones for almost a month now, and showing her love and to figure out what it looks like. We know that there was an indictment of, yeah. I want to make sure I say his name right. I don't know why though, right?
Sean Grayson, right?
We know there was an indictment, but the police do not protect us. They never have, and they never will. And so we need a comprehensive, systematic change to address the root cause of police violence and symbolic gestures such as this. We saw it with Tatiana Jefferson. We've seen it before in the past that indictments do not bring back our loved ones, and it does not keep them from getting killed in the future. And so we must abolish and defund the police and state-sanctioned violence.
You said so much in there. I'm gonna tug on some threads, but I'm not gonna walk away from what happened to Sonia just yet.
Right.
So she called them. She called them for help. In the video, the cop is talking about, you know, that they looked through all the yards and da da da, and there was no one there. And then there's this conversation about a truck that's in her driveway. Like, I don't even know why that was their business. Okay. He did ask her if her mental health was okay.
Yes.
She said she was on her medicine. Then next thing, they're in her house asking her for her ID. Again, I'm yes. confused about why that ever happened. She was boiling water. They told her to remove the pot. They told her to take the pot off of the stove. And the cop says something about, you know, he took a step back because of the boiling water. Which to me is like, it's so repetitive, right, of the pattern we see. They introduce the violence every time, right? Like, the woman was taking a pot. Mm-hmm. There was no reason for him to...
Why can't I boil water in my home?
He created a threat for... Right. Why can't I boil water in my home? And why is the assumption that I'm following your orders, sir? She calls him sir every single time.
Yeah.
And he introduces this idea that now she's a threat. He creates the threat for himself in his head. Sonia says, I will rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I was raised Southern Baptist. I've never known that to be a threat
of
physical violence.
Yes.
And then they shot her in the head.
Yeah. And she said, and I think there's this in her face, right? And I think there's this moment when she says, she calls out, right? And I think that's just when she calls out for help. Right. And she's like, please, God, I don't know what to do. Right. Like this pleading that we almost, you know, I tried to figure out what to say in this moment, because so much of what we hold as a network to be true is to not re-trigger folks, to not be in the heaviness. Right. So that we can move past, grieve together. And what does it mean when someone calls out and is shot in the face by the police? Like, what does that mean for our spirit? What does that mean for our livelihood? And what does that mean for our well-being? I am raised Southern Baptist Christian. My mama is a pastor. And so when she called out for Jesus, she called out for salvation. She called out for freedom. She called out for liberation. And as we've seen throughout history, when we as Black women, girls, trans and gender nonconforming folks call out for freedom, call out for liberation, and call out for help and protection, we are murdered in our homes, right? We think about Breonna Taylor and the no-knock warrant. We think about, how is it that in my own home, I am not safe? I'm sorry.
You're not safe. Yeah. No apologies. And I do want to, because you are a healing practitioner, before I release you, we will talk about, you know, the healing piece. I just I wanted to lay that out because of then what happens, and it spoke so, you know, been doing this work so long that I spotted it immediately, but they knew they were on tape, right? They knew the body cam was going, and they immediately move in to the narrative. Immediately. Mm. Look, the water's right here. She was coming at us. Like, immediately, both of them. And I'm getting goosebumps, as I said. And they didn't even have to communicate to each other that that was the move, right? They knew that that was the move because they're trained on what to do when they kill us to protect themselves. And I'm actually not going to repeat the very disgusting ways in which they talked about her after she was stolen. That I will not repeat. But he was arrested, and you brought you mentioned that, and I just, my producer Jesse Strauss, like, this was something he really wanted to make sure was in this conversation, right? The futility of that, right? That's a state concession. The state knew. So this Sunday, there's, you know, actions happening all over the country. The state knew that there was going to be a response, and so that arrest is a concession that doesn't mean anything. Yes.
Right. It is the answer that we're going to give you and you have to take.
Right.
It is a force fed, right? A force fed. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I appreciate you, one, for just bringing back to our remembrance the ways in which we are oftentimes, you know, Malcolm always says the most disrespected, right? The most unappreciated. And so to bring how that narrative is where we return to. And then I think you have to also think of the mental health and the disability politics, right? That's not even being discussed, right? How do we begin to discuss what it means to respond to mental health incidences, respond to people that have different abilities, that have different disabilities, in a way that holds them in care? That is our responsibility as a community, right? How do we be the first call? How do we prevent the police from ever coming to our home? And what position do we need to be in so that we can, and so that we don't ever have to experience what it is like to lose someone like we have experienced what it was like to lose Sonya Massey? And I think that's what it looks like for us in this moment collectively, is to figure out how do we get in position, right? And then how do we honor Sonya, right? Alongside all of those who may not have made it to the conversations, to the national level, whose names we may not know. How do we hold their lives, and that it this moment does not pass us, that it transforms, that it changes, and that it alters the futures of our lives, right, of today and of the lives to come after us?
That's right. I mean, and that is, and I'll just take this moment to remind people that, you know, in the Bay Area and in Sacramento, we do have APTP's Mental Health First open Friday through Sunday. That can be your call. And we have seen that, you know, spreading. Like, that's the one piece of defund that they couldn't beat back, right? The creation of these models, the narrative that we were able to force around that law enforcement should not be the first responders to mental health crisis. I mean, we see even in middle America models popping up as people understand that 25 to 27% of the people that they respond, 50% of the people they murder have disabilities. And 25 to 27% of those folks are in the middle of a mental health crisis. And why are we sending badges and guns instead of care and compassion? You mentioned, you know, the formation of In Our Names Network in 2015. That was also the year, really, that the brilliant Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw's work to talk about the fact that Black women, too, you know, are murdered by police. Historically, we had really just focused on Black men, and that story needs to be told, and they are, right, the majority of our folks that are murdered, and so many Black women's stories that weren't being told. Can you talk a little bit more about that, right? Like, the untold, or the less told, because we tell them the stories, so I'm not going to say it's untold, the less told truths about Black women in law enforcement and the ways in which we are targeted and terrorized.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were founded in 2016. Just want to and it was a call. Let me just be very clear. That was put out by one of our legacy and guiding stars members, I say, and definitely one of our co-founding members, Andrea Ritchie, and as well as others. Right. So we also had organizations such as Black Feminist Future, right, as well as I'm so sorry, I wouldn't be able to say it right. As well as leaders such as Monica Jones, Paige Watkins, Rachel Williams, Shauna Griffin, that made this decision that there needed to be a collective that was dedicated to, when these incidents happen, we show up for Black women, girls, trans, and gender nonconforming folks. And then from there, right? And I want to say this too, because I think there is a history around Say Her Name, right? And particularly what you're saying here about Kimberly Crenshaw. And so there was a history, right, with Kimberly Crenshaw as well as Andrea Ritchie, where they talk about the particular violence on Black women and girls. And there is a, let me pull it up, because I want to tell you the name of the resource that came out of that.
Yeah,
no,
go ahead. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
It's a book. It's called Say Her Name, Resisting Police Brutality Against Black Women. Resisting Police Brutality Against Black Women. And it came out in 2015. And this was, also I just want to name, Andrea Ritchie was one of our co-founders, is also a survivor of police violence and particularly sexual violence. and so there
she's a regular on this show. Yeah.
Oh, good.
When she's not on sabbatical. Yeah, when she's not on sabbatical, we try to have her on as often as possible.
Okay. Well, I'm grateful to be in this space to work through that legacy, right? Like that commitment and that work. And so that came out, and then there's Policing No More. And so there has been this I think. And then particularly we showed up, right, around Breonna Taylor, particularly we showed up around Tatiana Jefferson, particularly we've showed up around Yella Clark, particularly we've showed up since the founding of the network in every incident, whether there were small incidences that no one was speaking about, that on our network, within our platform, within our space we were bringing up, such as Jasmine Stewart, such as, I want to make sure I be saying the names right, y'all. I'm so sorry. Such as Travenisha Ferguson, Mika Prince, Maya Hall. so I just want to make sure that the people that we've loved, we've supported throughout the years, were a part of this this legacy that has been, when something happens, we show up. And so I think that has been in our names, commitment since then. And then it's also been to build out these campaigns that align. So when we see reoccurring incidences, such as what has happened with Sonya Macy, such as what happened with Breonna Taylor, such as what happened with Angel Davis, when we see police are shooting, are killing, and are violent towards Black women, girls, trans, and gender nonconforming folks in our homes. And then we know the high rate of homelessness. So then we started our Halting the Eviction Crisis and Police Encounters at Homes campaign. And this was started, of course, before Sonya Massey, because we had been seeing these trends. And so a lot of what happened with those rapid responses, that we decided it was not enough to just respond in the moment. We had to build out the solutions and create the transformative change that needed to happen in community so that we can prevent and intervene against police and state-sanctioned violence while building the alternatives collectively together.
Sydney, I am out of time for you this morning, but definitely we'll have you back. I look forward to getting to know you better and working with you.
Thank you so much. Can I just say one thing, if that's okay?
Yes, but just very quickly, okay. I've got another guest waiting on the line. Yeah.
Thank you. In alignment and support with Sonya Massey, we are doing a national commemorative sites and altar built memorials where folks in community can do that wherever they are. And so they will be able to sign up online and folks can follow us on social media or on our website, so that when that is up and available and folks are wanting to and need the tools to honor Sonya in their homes, that they will be able to do that.
Thank you. In Oakland, we will be having a vigil for Sonya Massey this Sunday. More details to come. Thank you so much, Sydney.
Thank you so much. All right.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.